2 Samuel chapter 23, the last words. 2 Samuel 23. And Brother Steve, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir? Amen. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 1. Now these be the what? Last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the anointed of the God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel, said. So the last words. What will be our last words? Well, none of us know, because none of us know how long we're going to live. We never know when the last word we say will be the last word we ever say down here. Notice, hold your place here if you would, but notice with me in Proverbs chapter 27. Proverbs 27. We never know what our last word will be. Proverbs 27, 1. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. So none of us know. I was thinking of Brother Parfit when he was killed out in New York, and just stopping. I guess their practice was that he would take his son to work, and his son would read the scripture to him while they were driving, and then someone went off the road, so they stopped to help. And I was just thinking about that. I wonder what Brother Parfit's last words to his son were before he was hit and killed there. But none of us know. None of us know. Notice in James chapter 4. What will be our last word or words? James chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, go to now ye that say, today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas you know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even what?
A vapor
that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. For that you ought to say, if what?
The Lord will.
We shall live and do this or that. So any word we speak may be our last word. So, wow, what a responsibility, isn't it? To make sure that our words are right, because any of our words may be our last words. In Ecclesiastes chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10. You know, I think in this world there's a lot of people that plan on getting right with God someday, but they just think they have time, so, you know, it's not today, they're thinking. And years ago, an airplane went down in Texas from I think they said it was like downdraft winds from a storm. But on the cockpit recorder, the last words of that pilot were swear words. Wouldn't that be terrible? I mean, a lot of people think, well, you know, just before the Lord comes or just before death, I'll just quick say a prayer and get saved. But there's no time for that, is there? There's no time for that. You know, if a car veers across the center line, there's no time to say a prayer. It's just like that pilot, you know. So there's no time. Ecclesiastes 10:12. The words of a wise man's mouth are what?
Gracious.
But the lips of a fool will swallow up himself. So we want to make sure that our words are gracious, because those may be the last words that we ever speak. The word gracious there is defined by Strong's Concordance as favor, grace, pleasant, precious, well-favored. Many times people think about the last words their loved ones spoke before they died, and they'll consider them in the precious category. The last thing they said, and may our words be in the precious category. Look at Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. Thinking about our words, because at any moment, it might be the last word or words that we ever speak down here. Colossians 4, verse 6. Let your speech be what? Always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So our speech is to be always with grace, seasoned with salt. Well, let's go back to 2 Samuel 23. We're looking at, first of all, the last words of David. The last words of David. So verse 1 tells us that. Now these be the last words of David. And then it says, David, the son of who?
Jesse.
So we're thinking about our words, these last words, affect the memory of those that we are related to, those that we are associated with. Our words, our last words, affect those people because of their relationship to us. So like David, his father here, David, the son of Jesse. So it's interesting. It talks about David's last words and immediately brings up his dad. So if we live righteous and holy lives, then it will be an honor to those who are related to us in some way, some acquaintance or whatever. Oh, so, you know, you are the relative of him, or you're the friend of him, or vice versa. If we live wicked, unholy lives, and our association then with other people brings reproach upon them. I'll never forget the first day of class in wood shop in high school. The teacher looked at a certain student and said, "Are you the brother of so and so?" And the boy said, "Yes." And he said, "You better not be like your brother." So that's what can happen when we live wicked, unholy lives. We can make it hard for someone else that knows us or related to us. And so the teacher watched that student to thinking that student would be a troublemaker. So we need to be careful. So David's words affected the memory of those associated with him. I wonder how our words affect people that are related to us or know us. I wonder how our words affect that. Number two, David's words were important because they were part of his position in life. In 2 Samuel 23:1, there, once again, it says, "Now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was what?
Raised up on high."
Raised up on high. You know, our words are part of that, aren't they? Either giving us lives or position of integrity or vice versa. Our words may bring us down instead of bring us up. Look with me, please, at Proverbs 29. Proverbs 29 and verse 22. I've been talking to some of the guys about getting a crane. Years ago, on a Christmas time, we had used, I think it was one of Pioneer's cranes with Brother Randy there. We hoisted up a star and lit it up like the Star of David, and then had strands of lights coming down from it. And we'd had some compliments about that. And so I was thinking of another event coming up here, and was just pricing some cranes. So if some of you like to paint banners, we may have some of those for you to paint. We'll see what happens there. But things that are up high, people notice. You know, people that have higher positions in life, when they say the right things or the wrong things, it gets plastered all over the news, doesn't it? And so the more responsibility God gives to you and I, the more people listen to our words. Maybe like Jesus, they try to catch us in our words. And so we have to be all the more careful what we say. But in Proverbs And verse 29, Proverbs 29, verse 22. The Bible says, an angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression. A man's pride shall what?
Bring him low.
But what? Honor shall uphold the who? The humble in spirit. So we have to be so careful of our words. You know, in our day and age, it's just people think that having pride in something will help them to succeed. I know many times in sports teams, you know, maybe around town or on the roads, they'll, you know, have purple pride or whatever, you know, thinking somehow that's going to excite everyone and win the competition, whatever. But actually, pride brings us low, the Bible says, not high. Notice also in Proverbs 17, verse 28, our words are part of our position in life, whether we have a respected position or a disrespected position. Proverbs 17:28. Even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted what?
Wise.
And he that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of what?
Understanding.
Even though the person may not understand, just by being quiet, people perceive that he knows. And when he holds his peace, he is counted as wise, even though he might not be. So there's a time to speak and a time not to speak. Back to 2 Samuel 23, David's words were important because it was a reflection upon the Lord. In Proverbs 23:1, it says, now these be the last words of David. David, the son of Jesse, said, and the man who was raised up on high, the what? The anointed of the God of Jacob. So this is the point here where we especially want to be careful, don't we? Because, you know, when David committed his sin with Bathsheba, that caused the enemies of the Lord great occasion to blaspheme. And so this is especially the point. If my last words or any words in between are such it would bring a reproach upon the Lord, that is what is really sad, isn't it? We do not want to do that. So the last words of David, then in verse 2 there, 2 Samuel 23:2, actually, I guess there's one last point in verse 1 there. It said, the anointed of the God of Jacob and the what?
The sweet psalmist
of Israel said. The sweet psalmist. Known for sweet godly music. If you hold your place here and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians 5:19. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making what? Melody in your heart to the Lord. You know, rock music emphasizes mostly beat and rhythm, and God wants us to emphasize melody. You know, there are some instruments that you cannot play melody on, and some instruments you could, but people don't use them that way. And so they might just strum a beat, a rhythm. That's what happens with a guitar many times. It's not picking out the notes, it's just strumming a beat and getting a rhythm going. And you don't know what the melody of the song is until someone starts singing. You have no idea what the melody is. And that's the problem with many instruments used in rock music. There's no melody. It's just beat and rhythm. But David was known for sweet music, so melody. God wants us to make melody in our hearts to the Lord. Then David's word back in 2 Samuel 23 there, David's words were known as spirit-filled words. In 2 Samuel 23:2, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Wouldn't those be wonderful thoughts to know that God so led us in a way where we could look back and say, like David, the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. Instead of looking back regretting certain words we said or a certain response we had with our mouths, is it not sweet if we can think back to times where we yielded to the Holy Spirit and saw the result of the Spirit of God yielding to Him and Him speaking through us? That's my prayer for my life. So those are the last words of David. Number two, the last words of Elijah. Last words of Elijah, 2 Kings 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. 2 Kings 2 and verse 9. And it came to pass, when they were gone over, that Elijah said unto Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for thee, before I be taken away from thee." And Elisha said, "I pray thee, let what? A double portion of thy spirit be upon me." And he said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if thou see me when I am taken from thee, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so." I ponder this. These are some of the last words. And of course, they went on and talked. Verse 11. And it came to pass as they still went on and talked. So with Elijah, this was not the last word or words, because they went on and talked and that conversation was not recorded for us. But as I pondered this one, I thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if some of our last words were, "Ask, what can I do for you?" And someone's words were, "I want to do what you have done. I want to serve God, only I'd like a double portion of it." A double portion. I thought, what a compliment to Elijah that was. Do you realize how many people die, and people that know them, might be related to them or friends, say, "I don't want to be anything like you"? What a difference. Elisha was saying, "I want to live my life like you have. I want to live for God, only even more so, please." What a wonderful compliment that was. And wouldn't it be something if near the end of our lives, if we were talking to our loved ones or friends, and some of our last words were saying, "Can I do anything for you before I die?" You know, and so instead of them asking for, "Well, yeah, I'd like some money," or "I'd like this or that," wouldn't it be something if they said, would you just pray for me before you die, that I would be like you, that I would serve God with all of my heart? Only in your prayer, could you pray that I would be even twice as much serving God as you? I thought, wow, what a tremendous compliment that was to Elijah. Notice with me in Psalm 71. That tells us that Elijah was not a hypocrite. Elisha was with him constantly. He was the one that poured water on his hands. Elisha was his minister. And for him to say that at the end, he didn't say, I don't want to be like you. No, he said, "I want to live my life like you, only double." Psalm 71:17. O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, and shall until I have showed what? Thy strength unto who? This generation. And thy what? Power to everyone that is to come. That was David's prayer. Oh, Lord, I have gray hair now, but oh, God, I know my strength is failing, but Lord, please let me show this generation your power and your glory. What a wonderful prayer. prayer. So the last words of David, number two, the last words of Elijah, number three, the last words of Jesus. The last words of Jesus. Let's go to John 19. The last words of Jesus. Now, there's going to be two times of last words. So number one, the last words of Jesus before he died on the cross. The last words of Jesus before he died on the cross. John 19:28. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith what? I thirst. Why did he say that? It says that the scripture might be fulfilled. Wouldn't it be wonderful if our last words would be in fulfillment of scripture? That would be obeying the Lord and his word. He said, I thirst. If you'd hold your place here, would you turn me to Psalm 63? Psalm 63. Psalm 63 and verse 1. The Bible says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul, what? Thirsteth for thee. My flesh, what? Longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. You know, sounds kind of like America and the whole world right now, doesn't it? It does. Do we have that thirst for God? Verse 2, to see what? Thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David had seen his power and his glory in the sanctuary. David had experienced the fire falling from heaven and consuming the sacrifice. But he wanted the world to see that. He was thirsting for God to see his power and his glory. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5. What about our last words? Would it be that we were still thirsting for God? The show that kind of goes on as Brother Johnson was preaching at Hathaway Hills today. I was thinking his message was kind of a lot like my message tonight of just the same thought. But in Matthew 5 and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and what? Thirst after righteousness, for they what? Shall be filled. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness? Do we hunger and thirst to see God's power and his glory, that this next generation might know the Lord? That was the thrust of Brother Tim's message. This coming generation, may our words be such that it shows that we hunger and thirst to see God's power and glory. And then back in John 19, so some of his last words were, I thirst, and then three more words in verse 30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, this is John 19:30. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said what? It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. So these last three words, it is finished. And this goes along with Brother Tim's message today too. It's like, Jesus finished his course. He finished it. I want to finish the course, whatever that course is the Lord has laid out for me. I don't know all what might be involved in that. But I want to finish what he wants me to do. Now, to the people assembled here, they may say, well, what do you mean it's finished, Jesus? The church doesn't even have a building yet. I think when we laid the foundations for this building, and brother and sister Rector then went to Florida for the winter. The foundations were laid in November, I think. And they went to Florida, and Brother Rector passed away in February down there. And he never got to see the building finished. And so, but Jesus is dying here, and the church, doesn't have a building yet. And some people may say, well, then how can it be finished? How can the work be finished? You don't even have a place to hang a shingle on, you know, a sign on to say what it is. But he finished the work that God had brought him to do. And none of us know. I can remember Brother Ken Miller. He passed away just before that time, the previous, I think it was in June. And that spring, there was a lumber yard here in town called Woolahan Lumber, and they had a spring special sale on lumber. They had plywood, OSB plywood for, I don't know if it was $4 something a sheet or $5 a sheet. And it's been recently $40 a sheet. So I can say this now, Brother Miller's in heaven, but he said, Pastor, he says, I want to go to the lumber yard and I want to order the lumber for that church. And so we went and he bought it. Enough to roughen this building, not the trusses, but the plywood for all the walls, the roof, and all the studs and lineal stuff. So when he passed away, it was all under tarps right over here in this area. And you may say, well, wait a minute. His course wasn't finished. We hadn't even laid the foundations. But he didn't know it and we didn't know it, but that was his course. I remember when he passed away, I said, Lord, how can we build without Brother Ken? I just thought he was such an encourager. Always had a smile on his face. His doctor once asked him, he said, Ken, why do you always have a smile on your face? And you know what he told him? Because I know the Lord Jesus is my Savior. And he said, where do you go to church? And he told him. And I truly thought, I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, how can we build without Ken Miller? But you know what? He finished his course. And none of us knew it was going to end at that point. But he finished his course. I just pray that each of us could finish our course. It might not be at the point where we thought it was going to be. And we might think that we're leaving something right in the middle. But the Lord knows. And the Lord will speak to others to rise up and build. And he did. He had got the material, and God did the miraculous. In that summer, they had the street tore up in front of the old church. And I told the church folks, I said, we've got to pray that the church sells before they tear that road up. Because I said, the church will never sell when the road is torn up because no one will be driving down here. Well, guess when the church sold the building? When the road was torn up. That was no hindrance to the Lord. The guy who bought it allowed us to stay in there, I don't know, I think it was 3 months until we could finish this building up. And the Lord just did miraculously every step of the way. So the Lord knows the course. So the last words of Jesus, he said, it is finished. And after he said that, and when he said that, all of his disciples had forsaken him and fled. And you could say, how can you say it's finished? You don't even have anybody left. In John chapter 6, the multitude went away and you turned to the 12 and said, will you also leave? And that's when Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And now, at his death, none of them are there. Not even the 12. One of them has already committed suicide. Judas, he's killed himself. The other 11, where are they? The only ones that are left watching are women. None of the guys are here. So you might say, how could you say it's finished? Well, it was. And God spoke to hearts and they rose up. So the last words of Jesus before he died on the cross were, it is finished. Number two, the last words of Jesus before he ascended back to heaven. Acts chapter 1. The last words of Jesus before he ascended back to heaven. Acts chapter 1 and verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? So the resurrected Christ has appeared to them, and that's this conversation is going on. So they're asking him, Lord, at this time wilt thou restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in what? His own power. But ye shall receive what? Power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be what? Witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So God said, Jesus said here, Jesus who is God, he said, you have not been given the power to know the times. You don't know all the details on time. Your power is being witnesses, verse 8. So the last thing that Jesus told them, and then in verse 9, so he told them that they'd receive power to be witnesses. And in verse 9, and when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. So Jesus said, your power is to be witnesses. That's our course right now. And may we look to the Lord, because we need his power, don't we? Our words are just empty words without his blessing. And we need his strength. It fits along with Brother Johnson's message that the generation to come, what will they do? I don't know when any of our courses might be up. It might be up this week. I don't know. Might be up yet today. But will we, whoever's left, will we rise up and follow the Lord? The Lord's last words before he ascended to heaven was he was going to give us power to be witnesses at home and abroad. And may we fulfill that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Father, when we think of this topic of our last words, none of us know our last words, because none of us know when we're going to die and meet you. And so, Father, I pray you'd help us. Help us to make our words count. I pray that not only, Lord, that we would choose our words carefully, but more than that, as we saw the other night, that we would seek your words, that the Holy Ghost would speak through us, that he would give us the words in the hour that we need in Luke 12:12. So, Lord, we look to you for this week, not knowing even if we will live for the whole week. But we are asking one thing, Lord, that you would give us the power to live for you in whatever time you do give us, this week or beyond. So please touch our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's turn, please, to one.